night, the question is often raised, what do you want for Christmas? You ever notice that? People say, what do you want for Christmas before Christmas? And afterwards, people ask what the question is, what did you get for Christmas? Right? So, when we talk about the coming of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a thought about giving. Giving permeates our thinking because the Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest gift of all, right? God so loved the world that He gave. Okay, gave His only begotten Son. The Lord Jesus Christ has said He's the fullness of grace. Grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. He's the fullness of grace. As a matter of fact, it says, of His fullness we have received grace upon grace. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9 describes it this way. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ looks like this, that He was rich, yet for our sakes He became poor, that we through His poverty might be made rich. So tonight, what I want to look at is this passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 2. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. Otherwise, you just follow along with me. We're looking at the shepherds tonight. And what I want to look at is the shepherds, they were recipients of great gifts just because the greatest gift of all was right in front of them in the Lord Jesus Christ. But as a result, they also received grace upon grace. And I want us to think about how that applies to us, that as we focus in on Christ, we too receive grace upon grace. It's much to be thankful for in this Christmas season. So let's thank the Lord for His Word and ask Him for His help. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your holy word. Indeed, it is inspired by God, given to us by the working of the Holy Spirit upon those who wrote it. And as You bring it to us, You bring it to us with power by the work of the Holy Spirit. And so You know the condition of everyone that is here tonight and all the distractions. And we pray that during these moments that You, by the power of Your word and the work of the Holy Spirit, might speak to us and draw us close to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we come to worship and exalt as we study on this passage. So we give You thanks for this time together in Jesus' name. Amen. So this evening, there's one more text on giving. There's a text of Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. It looks like it's just a very simple statement that Paul made. Thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. Or the King James says His unspeakable gift. In other words, the gift that God has given to us in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is beyond even thought or word. It goes beyond what we could ever comprehend. And so it's just like, it's unspeakable. It's just flabbergasting. So tonight, as we think about that, we look at five ways the Lord blessed the shepherds. And as He blessed the shepherds, we can put ourselves in that same way of thinking, how He blessed them, that He has blessed us too, as I want to apply that. So we're going to look at the gift of revelation, the gift of inspiration, the gift of salvation, the gift of confirmation, and the gift of adoration. I know I had a lot of time to think those things up, so I normally don't get that so cool on that, so you may not think it's cool anyway. So let's just look at it. Let me just look at Luke chapter 2 and verses 8 through 20. Let me read it, and then we'll dissect it and bring out these various gifts. Verse 8, and in the same region there were shepherds out in the field watching over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made it known to the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Mary treasured up all these things and pondering them in her heart, and the shepherds returned, glorifying, praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. All right, first of all, we want to consider the gift of revelation. It says in verse 8 that the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. It's interesting that God sovereignly picked out shepherds in the region. Notice he did not pick out the religious leaders to display this. He picked out shepherds. Now, shepherds in that day were kind of despised. It's interesting they were despised because they lived outside. I mean, they would watch over anywhere from 50 to 400 sheep, depending on how big the flock was that they were responsible for. So when you stop and think about it, here they are by themselves. They're out in the fields all the time. So you know, maybe they associate with other shepherds, you know, from time to time, but they don't have a whole lot of community activity. And they weren't really respected in the community, although the community, the society, was really a sheep-based society. If you don't believe that, you should stop and look at all the sheep that were happened to be sacrificed in the Old Testament, the fact that they ate sheep all the time and they used the wool of sheep. So sheep were important, although the shepherds weren't very important. So they were out in the field. They were away from people, and they're kind of out of touch, and yet they were chosen to receive revelation. Stop and think about it. In the book of 1 Corinthians, let me see if you can kind of grasp this. He says, "See your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, and not many mighty, not many noble are called." I want to step in here and point out, it doesn't say not any, it just says not many. Okay? Not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble. "For God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, yea, things which are not, to bring to naught those things that are." And here's the reason: that no flesh should glory in his presence. You know, there's something about when we receive something, we want to take pride for it, right? We think we're a hotsy-totsy something because we got it and something nobody else has it. So what did God do? He went right to those who were despised, shepherds. He said, "Shepherds, I have something to show you." Now, sometimes we think that we don't deserve it. Maybe the shepherds didn't. The disciples wondered. They were kind of at a miff when Jesus spoke in parables, and he said that the parables were actually given so that those who could see would not see. In other words, the religious leaders who thought they saw everything, that they would miss it. But those who were humble would receive it. And so he said to the disciples, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see. And blessed are your ears, for they hear. For many righteous and holy men of old have desired to see those things which you see and hear those things which you hear, but they couldn't. It wasn't revealed to them." We can say that about the shepherds. Many people wanted to see what they were about to see. Many people would have enjoyed getting this revelation. But here are these who are despised have received something. Same goes with you and me. If we understand the truth, during this time of the year, there are people who sing the Christmas carols. There are people who say, "Merry Christmas." There are people who celebrate by the giving of gifts. But the truth of the incarnation goes right by them. They really don't give any thought. But those to whom it is revealed, it's something very special. It's revealed, as just as the Apostle Paul said, the gospel is revealed to us. He said, "Our gospel came not to you in word only, but in power." And that's where the power of the Spirit takes the word of God to our hearts. So the first thing we'd like to look at is the gift of revelation. Has God revealed his truth to you? You are blessed. The truth would not be the truth without the coming of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if he has revealed it to you, give thanks to God for it. Because it says in Psalm 36, "In your light, O Lord, we will see light." And that's the truth. When we take the truth that God has given to us and we walk in that truth, he gives us more light. The shepherds received this. They were picked out to receive. And I say to you tonight, you've been picked out. You may have come here for another reason. But God has picked you out to hear this. And I trust that the Spirit of God would open your heart to understand. He has picked you out to hear the truth concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And I trust you respond. Secondly, we see the gift of inspiration. Wouldn't we like to have an inspiring moment? Many people turn into various things to look for some inspiration. But look at this inspiration that they received. The angel of the Lord appeared to them. Now, when that happens in the Bible, that really makes people, whoa, step back. But all of a sudden, phew, There's an angel there. As Heath likes to point out, angels don't have wings. That's from the doctrine of It's a Wonderful Life. And that ain't Bible, folks. And people who die do not gain their wings. That ain't in the scripture. Okay? So, that's A Wonderful Life. And I don't know who the writer was, but anyway. Here we go. The inspiration is the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. I guess so. Can you imagine if you were walking down, well, they were out in the field. There weren't any streetlights out in the field, and all of a sudden, there's a magnified light right there in front of them. There's an angel of the Lord, and they were pretty much afraid. The angel said, "Fear not, for I bring you good news and great joy should be for all people." So first of all, consider glory. The glory of the Lord. It says in the book of Exodus that the people saw Mount Sinai. The people were away from Mount Sinai, where Moses went up and he actually spoke with God. And it says Mount Sinai was filled with the glory of God. And here's how it appeared. It was like a devouring fire. Okay? In the book of First Kings, after the building of the temple, they prepared for this wonderful dedication service, and the singers were singing, and sacrifices were being made, and all of a sudden, boom, the glory of God filled the place like a cloud. And those who were ministering had to step back, because God was present. What do we get in this day? We're told in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that the glory of God, now watch this, is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. When we see Jesus as He is described in the Scriptures for who He is, and the Spirit of God has taken the shackles off your eyes, and you see Him as not only God, but your Savior, and you acknowledge Him as Lord, you see the glory of God, and that's in the face of Jesus Christ. But notice the words from the angel were, "Fear not. Fear not." Do those words ever mean anything to you? I know sometimes we're scared to do something. Fear not, or don't be afraid. Always, that doesn't comfort me at all when somebody says that, does it? Oh, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Okay. It's different in the Bible because it's word of comfort, and it's like putting the arm around a child and saying, it's all under control. Listen to the words of comfort in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1. It says, comfort ye, my people, says your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry her that her warfare is over. And her iniquity is pardoned, and she has received double at the hand of the Lord. Comfort. Let me hug you. God is hugging us, saying, comfort, comfort. Fear not. He says, your warfare is over. We're not at war anymore. We've been reconciled. You and God have been reconciled by Jesus Christ. Warfare is over. Your iniquity is pardoned and you've received double at the hand of the Lord. Not only have you received forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ, but you've received His righteousness. It's called justification, and that's a good place. All right. Fear not. Well, one other thing, it says, behold, I tell you good news. Good news is something we all need, isn't it? Fear not. Behold, I tell you good news. Listen to the words of the book of Romans chapter 10. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All right. Well, how shall they call on Him, on one whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace and bring the glad tidings of good things. So stop and think about it. Here we are. The shepherds are out shepherding, and all of a sudden, boom, a light. There's an angel. Fear not. I have good news for you. I have some good news. Good news is what we long for, isn't it? Isn't that what you want? Isn't that amazing how we turn on the TVs for some good news? Come on, give me some good news. Tell us something that's going on. It's good today. And here it is. This is the good news about Jesus Christ. What is the good news? The gift of salvation. Look at the words, verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. A Savior. In Matthew 1:21, when they told Joseph to fear not to take unto him Mary to be his wedded wife, for she says she is with child, and this is of God, and says she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, which means Jehovah brings salvation, and you shall save, he shall save his people from their sins. As we've read from Isaiah chapter 43, God says very clearly in the Old Testament, I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. So remember the time in Luke chapter 2 going on when Simeon was at the temple when they brought Jesus for dedication? And Simeon had been told, because he looked for the Messiah, said, Simeon, you're not going to die until you see him. And they brought Jesus in, and you know what? Jesus didn't have a name tag on. Did you see that cartoon, by the way? I think it was Far Side. That there were three people on camels, and the first person had a camel on a sticker on the back and said, my son is the best in his university class. The second had a bumper sticker on the back of the camel that said, my son is a medical doctor. And then there was Mary on the camel that said, my son is God. I thought those were good. Anyway, I like Farside. This is good stuff. All right, here we go. But Simeon, he didn't need a name tag, did he? It was revealed to him. Here's the Christ. So he held the Christ in his arms. Isn't it interesting? I wonder how quickly Mary gave up the Christ child, right? Here he is holding him, and he says, now let your servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen what? Your salvation. God showed him, this is salvation. That's why it says in Acts chapter 4, neither is there salvation in any other, for God has shown us that there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. 1 Thessalonians, it says, God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation and the Lord Jesus Christ come together, even as we read from Philippians chapter 3, is Jesus Christ our Savior that we're looking for. But notice it says, he is also Christ the Lord, which means Messiah, which means also he is God. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, remember those words, famous words quoted this time? I think they're quoted at this time of the year because a lot of times people hear the Messiah. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. He's God. God manifests in the flesh. In Acts chapter 2, when Peter was preaching, he says, this Jesus, whom you've crucified, is both Lord and Christ. I want you to think about not only the gift of revelation and inspiration and salvation, the gift of confirmation. Verse 12 says this, this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now, it says right outside of Bethlehem they were, and so they were told in the city of David this was going to happen, so they knew it was, quote, just narrowed down, we're going to Bethlehem. Bethlehem wasn't that big of a place, but it was big enough. They probably had more than one barn, wouldn't you think? Probably, because it was an agrarian society, so they had more than one barn. So a manger would mean, a manger is a feeding trough, and so they would look at a barn, so we go in there looking for a barn. And secondly, we're going to find a woman who has a child, and he's lying in a manger. So if we're going there, we need to narrow it down to a barn. Okay? No sense going to an inn because we're going to a barn where there's cattle, where there's animals feeding out of a feeding trough, where that's where the baby is laying. He's been swaddling clothes. So as they would narrow it down, maybe two or three barns, four barns in little Bethlehem, right? What I want to point to is they needed the guy, even though this is kind of a generalized confirmation, it was specific because if they're going to go there, they need to find a place. There is a barn, there's a manger, there's a woman who's just had a child and her husband. Okay, and God, they would depend on God to lead them. In other words, it was common, but it was not so confusing as to keep them from it. How do you think they felt when they found that? Whoa. They got there, right? Just as the angel spoke to them. Well, next I want to consider the gift of adoration. It breaks down in three parts: the glory of God, and the obedience of the shepherds, and the wonder of God. First of all, the glory of God, in verses 13 and 14. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." God does things, and it just brings forth praise by the heavenly host. I don't think God says, "I want you to go on cue." I think the heavenly hosts just are just enamored with what God has done. Listen to these words in Job. In Job 38, when God was kind of rebuking Job for his attitude and saying, "You need to get this right, Job. Where were you when I did all these things?" And finally, he says, chapter 38, verse 7, "When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy." When he laid out the stars, he says, there was singing. There was joy. How could they hold it back, right? Now, for all eternity past, there has been, from the time of this, the great covenant that was made between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in eternity past, that Jesus would come into this world, right? When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son. Just at the right time, He came. By the way, in Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, "In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began." So, the covenant that was made between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that Christ would come into the world at a specific time was made before the foundation of the world. You didn't have anything to do with it. It was all Him. How good that is, because we would blow it. He didn't. Now, here's the good news. When Jesus was here, and this announcement was made about Him being here, the heavenly host could not hold back. That's good news. Can you imagine if the Bucks scored a touchdown and the people in the stands said nothing? I mean, they let it out. The heavenly hosts saw the works of God. Peter tells us in 1 Peter that angels desire to look into the things that we understand concerning redemption. They don't understand it. There has never been an angel redeemed. Only people. Okay, so they look into this and say, this is amazing. So the angels, the heavenly hosts, looked and saw what God was doing. He sent His Son into His own creation to redeem rebels that hated Him. And there He is. The work of God, and angels rejoice. Secondly, I point out the obedience of the shepherds. Now watch this. They haven't, when I was talking about them looking into Bethlehem for that confirmation was set before them. But here that we find they actually doing it. In verse 15, the angels went away from them into heaven, and the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened." You know, sometimes reading of something just doesn't do it justice. How do you think they said that? "Let us go into Bethlehem and watch this." I don't think that was it. Man, let's hightail. Now, wait a minute. There's several things to think about here. They decided, and then they went in haste, it says. "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph. You know, I'm not a detailed person, that much of a detailed person, but enough of a detailed person to know that if you're watching 100 sheep, okay, you and your shepherd buddies are watching 100 sheep, and you decided to leave. There's no guarantee that those sheep will be there when you get back. Now, they did have sheepfolds where they would bring them into, but there was always somebody guarding the sheepfold. Maybe they left one or two people. I don't know. We don't get that here. But what I get from this is a good lesson for us. They were told that Christ is in the town next door. And they looked and said, "Let's go." And I don't see them saying, "Well, no, I don't know. What are we going to do about these sheep? Well, I don't know. What do you think? If a robber comes, we're responsible for these sheep. We could be in a big trouble." They didn't even think about it, did they? Why? What was their focus? The Christ child, right? And they were willing to leave. And it says they made haste to do it. Well, the third thing is this wonder of it. And they When all heard it, they were wondered at the shepherds who told them, and backing up the obedience. Shepherds not only went there, but when they left, they started telling everybody. So then the wonder of it. People wondered at the shepherds. Mary wondered as she treasured up these things. The shepherds returned and wondered. People, the shepherds told, wondered. People, Mary wondered. The shepherds wondered. The wonder of it all. The wonder of it all. God, who is the Creator. God, who is the offended by us, who are sinners. By the way, Elijah, he gets a lot more than you think. Did you hear the amen out of that mouth? I love that. Thank you, Elijah. All right, so God the Creator, God the offender, God the offended, we're the offenders, and God is the reconciler. All things are of God, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, who has reconciled us to Himself. He's reached out and drawn us to Himself in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're reconciled. God sent His only begotten Son to save those who hate Him. The incarnation has taken place. Jesus Christ lived a perfect life, spotless, sinless. He died for our sins. He rose again from the grave and He ascended to heaven where He rules and reigns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He will come again for us. So my friends, all of us tonight, by God's grace, have received the gift of revelation. I've just told you a revealed truth that the Savior was born in Bethlehem, and just as the shepherds received good news, you have received good news. It's not because I said it, because it's in this book. Period. You are blessed. All because Jesus Christ came. It's out of that blessing of Christ here that you have received the gift of revelation. Secondly, you have received the gift of inspiration if you have looked into the face of Jesus Christ and know that the glory of God is seen in His face. Third, you understand the gift of salvation. You cannot be saved on your own good works. You have none. Nothing of your that you bring would ever make you accepted to God by itself, because all of our works, it says, is like filthy rags. Can you imagine? I'd like to pay my debt. Here's my works. Oh, it's filthy. Yeah. That's exactly right. But our debt has been paid once and for all by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He is the Savior of sinners. The gift of confirmation. The words I say to you are confirmed in this book, and they're true. And so we look at the gift of adoration. Has God given you that gift to adore Him? You sing that song, and that verse of the song, "Oh, come, let us adore Him." It's more than just words. It means we are ready to fall on our knees and confess Him as Lord to the glory of God the Father. Well, come, let us adore Him. I'll just conclude with the words that Heath read earlier from Philippians chapter 3. The same Jesus. Remember, the disciples were watching Jesus after the crucifixion and the resurrection. And then for 40 days, He walked with them and talked with them and taught them. And then He came to the end, and going out to the mount, he lifted up His hands and He blessed the disciples. And then He ascended. And as He was ascending, and I would have been doing this too. The disciples were all going, "Golly, there He goes. Wow. I think He's about out of sight. Yeah." He just kind of gazed into heaven. I would have too. You would have too. How many of you ever seen one of those rockets take place over at Cape Canaveral? I mean, if you've been around that, even if you've seen it from a distance. I was riding my bike one time. We lived in Oviedo, which is on the other side of Orlando and far away. But as we were riding the road, down the road, and there went the shuttle up. That'll date me, right? And the guy I was with saying, I think that's the shuttle. You think? Right. So they're looking at Jesus. And the angel speaks to the disciples, "You men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing here? This same Jesus whom you've seen going away will come again." There's a job to do. Now do it. So in Philippians chapter 3, Paul points out and says, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you know you're an alien. You are. You may have citizenship papers for the United States of America, but you're really an alien. We all are. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you're an alien. You're here, but your real citizenship, he says, is in heaven. That's where you belong. That's why when it comes down near the end of life way, you start longing to be home. If we could just keep this idea in mind a lot, it would help us to keep the idea. We belong in heaven. That's where we belong. To be absent from the body, Paul says, is to be present with the Lord. So we await, notice, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The Savior saves. He has saved us from sin, and He will save us from the hour of death. We'll pass from this life onto the next, and He will raise our bodies and reunite our souls one day, because He will transform our lowly body. Would you say your body's a lowly body? Even if you're in the best shape like Brooke Williams, okay? It's just a lowly body. Would you say that, Brooke? It's just a lowly body. We understand that because all the aches and pains we have, we know it's a lowly body. But it'll be fashioned like unto His body by the power. It's by His power, by the power that enables us. He enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. That's our Savior. That's quite a gift, isn't it? The gift of our Savior brings us the gift of revelation, inspiration, and of course, salvation. But it also brings us the gift of obedience. As we obey Him, we find the joy of the Lord as our strength. As we walk with Him, we adore Him because He's worthy of our love and our affection. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time around Your Word. Thank You for each person that is here. Thank You for what You will accomplish by Your Word going forth. I pray that it would accomplish exactly what You set it out to do in all of our lives. And may this Christmas season be a time that we truly adore the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.